All right, appreciate your prayers for me this morning. I don't feel good. So, I just, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm just so tired. I unloaded the suitcases, 3 trips, and I'm so exhausted I had to lay down. So, but it's been a week since dialysis, so that might have something to do with it. But I appreciate your prayers. Yeah, I did wrong, but learned my lesson, I guess. So let us bow for a silent prayer. Father, we ask this morning that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive your word, and that we might be strengthened and encouraged from the things that we study. For we thank you and ask in Christ's name, amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. This is the key here for all of us, is living in the new nature. We've been given a human spirit in the time of our salvation. The Holy Spirit indwelt us. So now we have a new means by which we can live life, and that's instead of the power of the flesh, we have the power of the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now we get into a list of some of the things that constitute the flesh nature. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, and faith. So the flesh produces this, and the Spirit produces that. And we have here the fulfilling the lust of the flesh. A lot of people have trouble trying to figure this out. They think by being filled with the Spirit, that they will not have any more lust. That's not true. You see, the flesh produces lust, lust of all kinds. That's all it can do. It's all it wants to do. And I've categorized 28 of them, different kinds of lust. But there's a difference between the flesh lusting and the fulfillment of that lust. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit prevents the fulfillment of the lust. But there is more to that. What we've looked at here, are such things as witchcraft and hatred and discord and fits of rage. Now those things are what we call the more obvious sins. You know that it's sexual immorality is wrong. Homosexuality, lesbianism is wrong because it goes against the creator and order by the Father. Idolatry is wrong, orgies, stuff that you find in writing all the time. So these are the more obvious things. But these constitute lusts. But there's something else. Emotions. The emotions are part of the flesh nature. In fact, in my book, because I haven't proven every passage of Scripture, but every passage I have looked at, before there's a sin, there's an emotion. And it's a feeling that you have, these the feelings. We call these the emotional complex of the soul. In this, there are seven of them. First one is fear. Well, the feeling's mutual. Fear, anger, guilt, jealousy, grief, human love, and human happiness. So these are the seven feelings. And feelings are not spiritual phenomena. They're flesh phenomena. Unsaved people have them. We've got them. And that's the second aspect of what the flesh produces. The flesh also produces a phenomenon called tension myositis syndrome, where the subconscious mind creates physical problems for the conscious mind to focus in on, instead of having it focus in on what's going on inside. This has been documented by many clinics out there. And let's see, this is a brain here, and this is the conscious mind. It's like an eye watching all of this stuff go on. So what the subconscious mind does is keeps stuff buried and or keeps stuff from keeping to the light of day. So what the conscious mind will do is divert its attention over here on some pain, some problem. Now the pain may be real, maybe a definite problem, a physical problem, or it can be made up at the same time. What this does is keeps your eyes, your mind, eye, diverted over to the pain so that it's not looking at the problem in itself. I mean, I do this every time I get dialysis and they stick a needle in my arm. Anybody ever have a big needle stuck in your arm? Well, and then try to get it in the vein? Well, I pinch my fingers and make them hurt. And it diverts my mind to thinking about my the pain in my finger rather than the pain in my arm. Everybody does this. You go through a divorce or death, you go out and do things to get your mind off of it. Because if your mind stays on it, we end up going downhill. Then there are other unknown things. I call them unknown because I don't know what they are. I mean, I've studied out the different phases of anger and the emotions and TMS and all of these others, but still you'll find that the flesh produces all sorts of stuff that we're not altogether that familiar with. Now we have in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. By the way, that gets into the speech of the believer. Instead of tearing each other down with anger and words, we should figure out ways that we can encourage the other believer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Well, the grammar tells us some things here, like in verse 30. It's an imperative present tense. So it's to stop grieving one another, or stop grieving the Holy Spirit. So what does that imply? Yet you're already grieving him, so we need to stop it. And down in 32, the word is to start becoming kind. It means you're not doing it. And we need to start becoming kind and compassionate to one another. And all you got to do is look around. I'll tell you, is anybody aware of what's going on in America today? It's falling apart. So we're all going to be affected by this. So why are we tearing each other down? Why are we mean to each other? Why aren't we kind and compassionate? We need to be more gentle and considerate with each other, because we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it as a church or as a nation. The people going nuts out in the streets are getting angry, attacking you with guns, knives, cars. It just shows you that's the flesh. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given to every born-again believer in Christ. So we have a mandate from God to live in the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's a big problem right here. Here's the anger complex. I remember when Reading was called a nice town to live in. It was a friendly town. Well, it's not that way anymore. Those who aren't raging mad are so lifted up with pride with their fancy houses and cars, you can barely stand being around them. And the anger complex goes through a variety of stages. The first one that we come to here, bitterness. Bitterness, or sometimes translated as resentment, and it's a negative reaction to having gone through something unpleasant, unwanted, against the grain, against your purpose, something that makes you mad. It's pikria, P-I-K-R-I-A. And really, bitterness is the throwing of the switch. It's the immediate reaction to something. Best way I can use to explain it is, you touch a cactus, and what do you do? Yeah, so something pointed. We don't like pointy things. Or a rose bush, and you grab a hold of that, and you hit a thorn, and what do you do next? Yeah, you say, ow. Then sometimes you get mad. Sometimes you grab hold of something too hot or too cold, or electric wire, and it's something that goes against your system. And it can be aroused by being hurt in life. And you can't live many years in this world without being hurt. Somebody's going to die. Friends are going to leave you. Government's going to go nuts. And now all of that stuff is happening at the same time. It's an embittering thing. It's drinking the gall of bitterness. Well, it would be one thing if that's where it left off, but the next word is wrath. That's thumos. Well, that's hard to write. T-H-U-M-O-S. And thumos is the spectrum of anger where you're boiling mad. And it hasn't erupted. It's just all internalized in your soul. But you're mad. Some people stay mad all the time. They're not mad about this, they're mad about that. And these kind of people are looking for opportunities to vent their anger. And if you have an anger problem, you might pay attention. And Thumos, if I had to give a illustration, it would be a pot of boiling water. So as it gets heated up, the pressure builds up, and then the steam starts to come out. But again, bitterness is more like just an immediate reaction to something, and you flip the switch, and now you're in the anger mode. And the first anger that you will experience is where it starts to burn inside. The Latin word is fumere, F-U-M-E-R-E, from which we get what kind of mad? Fuming mad. But it's all still internal. The next one is anger. And anger here is more pronounced, more visible, but it stops being internal. It starts to go outward. It's the eruption of a volcano. Now, if we can look at a volcano for an example, the magma buildup would be wrath, and the explosion of the lava coming out the top would be the anger. And anger, in the Greek is orge, O-R-G-E, it's vindictive in nature. So what does that mean? Vindictive, vengeance. It means you made me mad and I'm going to get you. Now there could be a variety of ways that I get you. It could be physically, it could be verbally. But I'm going to get back at you. And this is a problem of the flesh nature. By the way, as I teach these things, you should be able to relate them to you, either what you're dealing with presently, or when it pops up in the future, because we're all this way in the flesh. The more you live in the flesh, the more you're going to have problems with this. If you're having problems with this, it shows that you're living primarily in the flesh. Life in the spirit, though, is indicated down in verse 22, 23. And that, the first on the list is love. Agape love is a relaxed mental attitude. And if you have a relaxed mental attitude, you will never take offense at what people say. You don't have to forgive them because there was nothing to forgive in the first place. Which, by the way, forgiveness, the idea in the Greek, is to let it go. Let the anger go. Let the offense go. Don't take it in account. Don't take it to heart. Just let it go. So we have orge being vindictive. Now you're going to want to hurt the other person that you're angry at. And that is when we, let's see what they've got, how they've got it translated here. You know, they've got brawling. The word brawling really gets into the idea of words. It's not brawling in the sense of, you know, physically fighting. It's a natural progression to go from mental, the next step would be verbal, and then physical. Not unless you got a hair trigger. You go directly to go. So some type of words. And the next word we have here, slander. And these are words again. And the difference between the two categories is the second one is more pronounced, more vicious. For example, in the first category, your words would be arguing, bickering, quarreling, fighting. You see that coming out. But if it was carried up into the next level of anger, we've already passed bitter, you know, arguments and bickering in that business. So now what we're doing is saying vicious, mean, hateful words designed to hurt the other person. So that's the object of the verbal phase. Both of them is designed to hurt the other person. And you will see anger brought out in the first category of words. You're seeing them, you're hearing them talk, you're hearing the words, but you're also seeing some of the anger that you had that was behind the words. When we get to the next category here, all stops are taken off, Katie bar the door. This is where you get people screaming at each other, yelling, saying, and you see husbands and wives do this all the time. We know what buttons to push. We know what's designed to hurt somebody. And if it isn't corrected, then we get into the last category, kakia, which they have rendered here, every form of malice. And this gets into the physical violence. That's where people start throwing things, or you start slapping each other, punching each other, taking knives to each other. I mean, look at the news every day. This happens all the time in America. And you can watch this. Now, that's the flesh. That's just one part of it. That's the anger complex. And God has got something better for us. So we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we don't get into this sort of stuff here. Now, what's handy as far as growth goes is by looking at the different stages of anger. You now can recognize in your own life, do I have those? You see, if you're throwing stuff around the house or you got your hands around somebody's neck, my guess is you're angry. I'm not a psychiatrist, but that would be my guess. But let's say you're not physical, and a lot of people aren't physical. A lot of women aren't. 12% of American women are physically violent towards their husbands. Same goes for men. But a lot of them, just the other 88%, bury it down. So they've got their mouths going all the time. And it doesn't have to be a tirade of verbal cuss words. It can be a calculated warfare that they're carrying on over months and years of their lives. You made them mad, and by golly, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it the rest of your life. And after that, then many husbands and wives live in a war zone in their house. There's no love, there's no fraternity, there's no intimacy. They're just using excuses to go and throw one more barb out there. So if you see that going on in your life, you need to say, me thinks that might be me. Or those who won't accept the truth. And by the way, you got to stop denying things. You got to accept the truth. We all have to accept the truth about ourselves. That's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. It tells us to confess our sins to God, right? If we do, we're forgiven and cleansed. But what happens if we deny that we feel that way? What happens if where it's not my fault, it's yours? Does that ever happen? Yeah, I know. How can people admit they're wrong when they're convinced they're right? You take a look at these commie liberals out there destroying the country. They actually believe they're in the right. And none of them will admit they're wrong. And they'll take some perverted doctrine they heard somewhere, twist it around, just to justify that they're in the right. They'll burn the country down to prove they're in the right. It's like I've said for years, it's not a question of who's right, it's a question of what's right. Just because you went to, and their problem is their pride and an education to back it up, and therefore because they're educated and the rest of us are idiots, obviously, they think they have a right to tell us what to do because everything they think is right. Well, you can't get saved having that mindset. You at least got to admit once, I'm wrong. You got to admit once in your life that I've sinned against God, that I'm a sinner needing saving grace, and I need help in my life. You need to admit that, but these guys don't. A lot of Christians don't. They think because they go to church, sing in a choir, don't smoke cigarettes anymore, that everything about them is hunky-dory. Well, that's not true. The Christian life is about living in the filling of the Spirit and having a love for the truth and living in the truth. So that's 1 John 1:9. So the word homologeo, we translate it out as confess, but it means to speak the same thing or to acknowledge. Now, God knows what we've done is wrong. You would agree with me, right? God knows that we have sinned. What he wants us to do is recognize it, that we have sinned. And here's what our sin is. So that's an acknowledgement, a joint knowing of the fact. If not, if I have any one of these problems, it will never heal itself. The provision for dealing with these problems is the filling of the Spirit. That's here for all of us, and that's the only way we can avoid these things. Father, we thank you for the study. We pray you bless it in Christ's name. Amen.